We shall consider words together that are found in the portion of the Psalm read, Psalm 119 and the verse 94. Psalm 119, verse 94, where we read these words, I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. And the words that we would seek to concentrate upon as enabled are those three simple words, I am thine. I am thine. These are the words of the psalmist addressed to God. The psalmist is, as it were, reminding God, although God needs no reminding of anything, but the psalmist is, as it were, reminding God that he, David, the psalmist, belonged unto God, that he was God's property. Now these three little words are the personal testimony of one of God's children, but it has to be understood, these cannot be uttered honestly before God without much thought and honest soul searching. How many of us can say today before God from an honest heart, I am thine. I am thine, all thine, body, mind, heart and soul. Everything about me is thine, 100% thine. I am wholly God's property. Let us make some inquiries then in order to discover if this is the case with ourselves, that we can say personally, I am thine. Remember, God cannot be deceived, so it is pointless to state a falsehood regarding this matter. There are many people around today who claim to be Christians, born-again Christians, practicing Christians. What a variety of Christians. It seems there are practicing Christians and non-practicing Christians. What a muddle the professing church is in. I fear the devil is saying of many who claim to be Christians, you belong to me. The worldly society of our generation has such a hold on others that by their life and conduct, they are really stating, we are thine, we belong to the world. An ungodly society actually dictates today what Christians should be like and what they should do. It matters not whether they bear the image of Christ or not. They just claim, I am a Christian, I am a practicing Christian. Or sometimes we hear, well, I'm a Christian, although I'm not a very good Christian. Now, you and I need to ask the question honestly, reflecting upon our own lives and our own conduct, to whom do I really belong? Can we honestly say before God, without equivocation, I am thine? How can anyone of the fallen race of Adam know and confess to belong to God? That's the question. How can anyone that is of that race that is so disobedient and so wayward, how can any one of that fallen race say, I am thine, addressing God? Well, first, we need to acknowledge that we are God's by creation. Now it doesn't matter whether we're in a state of grace or in a state of ignorance and sin, because of the fact we are created by God, we have to acknowledge we belong to Him. We are not self-existent or self-created beings. We have been brought into existence. God, our Creator, has given each of us life and existence for a reason. We do not exist by accident. We exist for a definite purpose. When the Apostle Paul addressed the Athenians, he said, God that made the world and all things therein hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. You find that in Acts 17. The same apostle wrote to the church in Colossians and said there, By him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Note that all things were created by him, but for him. As creatures, every one of us are bound to acknowledge, I am God's creation. God created me for himself, not for myself or for anyone else. As the Shorter Catechism reminds us, our chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. God created each of us to serve, obey, and glorify him. We have been created for him. That is why we are under an obligation to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. And we ought to be able to say, I am thine. Sadly, because in our first covenant head, we have rebelled against God, we have departed from God, we are like prodigals, as we are by nature, and we disown God and we rebel against him, and we do not say, as we are in a state of nature, I am thine. We seem to think that we have reason to live for self and to please self and ignore God. But we have to acknowledge we are not self-existent. We are dependent creatures. And by creation, we have to acknowledge we belong to God. But then, the child of God, the child of grace, goes further and says, I am thine, not merely because I have been created by God for his glory, but I am thine by redemption. This is a great marvel. In the prophecy of Isaiah, God is recorded as addressing his people, and this is what God has to say. Thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. That's found in Isaiah 43:1. And God says to every justified sinner, Thou art mine. Who can comprehend the wonder of this? Undeserving, rebellious sinners who by nature do not want God and have in their hearts the same spirit and desire of others who were crying out, away with him, crucify him. We will not have this man to reign over us. As we are by nature, we want to satisfy ourselves. We are determined, if necessary, to justify ourselves before God, which is an impossibility. But God has taken a people from eternity past, and he has given them to his eternal Son to be redeemed. And the redemption is costly. They are redeemed, as Peter reminds us, not with silver or gold, but they have been redeemed with precious blood. And it is the blood of the eternal Son of God in our nature, the one who came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And those who are the Lord's people, they recognize this, how undeserving they are, how unworthy they are, because it was their sin that nailed the Son of God to the accursed tree. But nevertheless, in all their unworthiness, and however undeserving they imagine themselves to be, they're able to say, I am thine, not because I have chosen thee, but thou hast chosen me, and I am thine by redemption. And they never forget the high price of that redemption. Like the children of Israel coming out of Egypt at the time of the first Passover, there they were coming out of bondage, out of captivity, while the cries of the Egyptians were heard throughout the whole land. And the reason for it was because of the blood of the innocent lamb. They were redeemed because of that blood. They were freed. They were liberated because of the blood that was shed and that was sprinkled and was upon the doorposts, the lintel and the doorposts of the houses of the Hebrews. And they were able to say, when they came out of Egypt, they were able to speak to God as a redeemed people and as a nation and as a people. They could say, I am thine by redemption. More than by creation, I have been redeemed and bought back into fellowship and communion with God. What a marvel that God would see fit to pay the redemption price so costly that you and I might say, I am thine, I am thine, I have been redeemed, and I am thine by redemption. Now, in addition to being redeemed, those who are redeemed, they are able to say, I am thine by grace. You see, their redemption is not by efforts of their own. The redemption is not on the basis of their merits or that they deserve to be redeemed. There is nothing worthy in them. It is all of grace. God has chosen his people in Christ Jesus, not because they are better, not because they are more worthy, but he has chosen them, given them to Christ to be redeemed, all because of the divine grace that belongs to God alone. And every child of God is able to say before God, this unworthy, this wretched, this undone creature is thine by grace alone. This is how the children of God feel about themselves. They cannot but marvel and wonder, why is it that God would ever set his love upon me? Why is it that God's grace would be extended to me who is so utterly unworthy? But this is what the children of God are saying. I am thine, and it is all because of God's redeeming grace. He set his heart on me, he set his love upon me, and I not only am saved by grace, but I am kept by grace. And a child of God, this very day, this very morning, as you and I consider these words, and you think, why is it that you would ever be able to say, I am thine? What did God see in you that was desirable? What would he see in any of us that was attractive, that was appealing? Was there goodness in it, in us? When we go to Romans chapter 3, we see there's none good, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God, there's none that doeth good. And yet, there are a people who are able to say, and may it please God that you and I would be among them, we're able to say, lift up our hearts to God and say, I am thine. Unworthy me, I am thine, all because of grace. What a privilege to be able to say, I am thine. What a blessing it is to belong to God by his grace, to be received by him, to be taken into fellowship and into communion with him. What a marvel. My, if you and I can find these words in our vocabulary today, if we can express them before God, I am thine, then surely we must exalt the grace that is in God. For we have nothing to boast of. We have nothing that we can present to God as any reason why we should ever be his. It is all for Christ's sake, and it is all because of his grace. But then we have to understand that when we are brought into such a blessed relationship by the grace of God, and we can say, by grace, I am what I am. I once was lost, I was undone, but God set his heart upon me, extended his grace to me, and today I am his by grace. Then we will know surely that we are his for a purpose, for a reason. And that is what the child of God will want to say. I am thine for thy service. You see, we were created to glorify God, to enjoy him. When God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden, he was given work to do. He was given service to be fulfilled. And God came and communed with Adam, and that service was enjoyable. Adam delighted in it. The last Adam, the blessed Savior, when he was coming into the world, the prophet was telling us that in his heart he was saying, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written in my heart. Now before Adam, the first Adam, fell, he enjoyed God. He enjoyed the service of God. He delighted in doing what pleased God. But once he disobeyed, everything changed. And that is not now the desire of men to willingly and honestly serve God. But you see, when grace comes into the soul, the delight becomes to please God, to serve God, to obey God. And that's the question today for each one of us. Can we honestly say, I am thine for thy service? I care not what that service is. I do not care if it be the lowest, the meanest of all service. I delight to do it. I want to live for God in his service. You remember that prior to his saving change, Saul of Tarsus, he thought he was serving God. He thought he was doing what God required of him. And yet he had to discover that he was doing the very opposite. You see, it's not what we want to do that is in the service of God. It's what he would have us to do. I am thine. I'm bought with a price. I am to glorify God in my body and in my spirit, which are the Lord's. He owns every last part of us. He owns our minds. He owns our wills. He owns our hearts. He owns our bodies. He owns our hands, our feet, our eyes, our ears. These are all the instruments that are to be used in the service of God. And if we just stop for a moment and we look back, could we say we have been doing very much in the service of God recently? Whatever we do, whether we eat, whether we drink, whatsoever we do, it is to be done only for the glory of God. And we might think to ourselves, well, the preacher, he serves God. The missionaries, they serve God. Evangelists, don't they serve God? But I'm just a housewife. I'm just a child. I'm just a laborer. I'm not very important. What can I do? What can I do in the service of God? And we might think, well, I pray for the servants of God as I know them to be, seek to encourage them, but I'm not really in the service of God. My dear friend, if we are the children of God, it matters not what we do. It matters not how meaningless the world may imagine what we do to be. If we do it to please God, it is a service rendered to Him. What have we been doing throughout the week that has passed? What were we doing yesterday? What were we doing in the week that has passed? If we were not serving the Lord, who were we serving? What were we doing? Was it honestly rendered up as a service to Him? Dear mother, caring for your children, did you at the end of the day go before God and render up as a service to Him your care for that child or those children? You who washed the dishes and cleaned the house, did you look heavenward for a moment and say, this is my service rendered up to you? I've cleaned this house to please Thee, to glorify Thee. I've washed these dishes to please Thee, to glorify Thee. And I delighted in doing it in such a fashion as would bring honor to Thy name. Young people, with your lives before you, do you stop to think, well, what service am I equipped and what service am I able to perform that would please God? Can I do more for God than I'm doing? Or can I do what I'm doing better for God? Because I belong to Him. I am in His service, as Paul himself considered him to be, was God's bondslave or bondservant. He had nothing else to live for. He had no other master. His whole life was rendered up in the service of God. You see, as Paul wrote to others, this is what he exhorted them to do, to offer up their bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, because this was the reasonable service. Now, dear child of God, is it reasonable in the light of creation and redemption and the grace of God toward yourself, is it reasonable that you would serve any other Lord or any other master? Is it not most unreasonable that you would forget God and seek only your own advancement in this world, or your own pleasure, or your own profit, or your own satisfaction? Oh, may we all be able to say today, whatever we do, we want to do it to the glory of God. and say, when God calls us in providence, maybe to engage in something that we would rather omit, or perhaps a task that we find difficult, or perhaps some occupation that many might think is beneath us, or whatever, do we say as we commence it, I am thine for thy service. When we start off each day, before we move our limbs or use our minds to engage in any activity, do we stop and look heavenward and say to the Lord who redeemed us, and the Lord who has extended his grace to us, I am thine. Whatever I do now, I do it for thee. I do it to please thee. I do it to serve thee. I do it with a desire that it will glorify thee. But then, you see, when we're able to say from the heart, I am thine, we must be able to say, I am thine willingly. Is that true? Can you and I say, I am willingly thine? I'm not objecting to any service. I'm not opposing thy will. You remember what Saul of Tarsus, when the Lord dealt with him on his way to Damascus to arrest more of the Lord's people, and you can see just how ignorant he was, and he acknowledged it. Saul of Tarsus was truly religious. He was zealously religious, and he himself acknowledges later in his ministry, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to Jesus of Nazareth. Now, just stop for a moment. Look at what the Apostle Paul says in this state before God. I verily thought with myself. Now he was making use of that faculty that God has created each of us with. He was thinking, and he had confidence in his thinking. He had confidence in his own thoughts. I thought with myself. He didn't need anyone else. He didn't need to engage the minds of anyone else. He was so confident of his own rightness. As we're reminded in the book of Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And there was the great Pharisee, the learned Pharisee, the zealous religious Pharisee, and he says, I thought with myself. What a way to think. We don't need to bring God into our thinking. We can think with ourselves. We don't need the assistance of anyone else. We are so arrogant. We're so proud. I thought with myself. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 10, and then the verse 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. He doesn't need to consult with God. The wicked man, the ungodly man, doesn't need God's thoughts at all. What does God say? My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts. What a wickedness it is for a creature to say, well, I think with myself. I don't need to consult God. I don't need God to tell me anything. This is how Saul of Tarsus was. And yet, he thought he was doing the will of God. He thought that he was doing that which was right. he actually, Saul of Tarsus, said that not only was he thinking contrary to Jesus of Nazareth, but as a religious Pharisee, you can see just how far distance his thinking and his will was from God. What was he saying? What was Saul saying? He thought he ought to do many things contrary to Jesus of Nazareth. He thought he ought to do many things contrary. They were the very opposite. They were contrary. His thoughts were the very antithesis of God's thoughts. Now, some of us perhaps should actually be alarmed if we take what Saul of Tarsus said, Paul the Apostle said at this time, if we take it seriously. What was he saying? I verily thought I ought to do many things contrary to Jesus Christ. You can see the vast distance between what Saul of Tarsus willed to do and the will of God. He thought he was doing the will of God and he was doing the very opposite. Now, there are many people and they get strange ideas into their heads because their thinking is religious thinking. Because they imagine even their thinking is based on a particular interpretation of Scripture, as Saul of Tarsus was. His was a will to do what he thought the Scripture taught him. But he was wrong. And we need to make sure that we have our wills conformed to the will of God. And we have to be certain that we are as willing as Saul of Tarsus became. What did he say? For to me to live is Christ. What a dramatic change had come over Saul of Tarsus. He thought he was doing the will of God, and yet he was willingly in opposition to God. Now, until a saving change is wrought in our souls, we will not do the will of God, and we are not willing to be submissive to his will. We are not willingly his. But you see, the grace of God brings about such a change that those who are changed become part of that body of whom the psalmist said, they are a people made willing in the day of God's power. They are made willing. Now, they're not forced to be willing. They are not, as it were, forced into submission to the will of God, to obey God, to honor God. No, no. They are able to say, I am willingly thine. I am willingly thine. I give myself over entirely to thee. You remember what John the Baptist said concerning the Savior? He must increase, I must decrease. He must come to the fore, and I must disappear out of sight. Ah, my dear friend, that is not how we are by nature. No, we want to be to the fore. We want to be in the picture. We want to be obvious. We want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want to be noted. But you know, the child of God becomes willingly the bond slave of Christ. And they are able to say, I am thine willingly. I don't want to be anyone else's. I just want to be all thine. I want my thoughts to be thine. I want my will to be thine. I want my life to be lived for thee. I want nothing else but to be thine. And the Savior, who more than anyone else, the Son of God in our nature, demonstrates for us what it is when we say, I am thine. He could look up to his Father in heaven and he could say, I am thine. And when he agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane and that awful cup was presented to him, and he feared and he trembled in his humanity, knowing what lay before him, what he must drink in that awful cup, what did he say? Nevertheless, he could say, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. It was so awful. Yet, he could say, I am thine. And therefore, thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. And that's how it is in the experience of the child of God. They may be faced with difficult providences. They may be sent in divine providence, severe trials and tribulations. They may be mystified by many experiences, just as Job was. But in the heart there is this, I am willingly thine. I am thine. And I am thine alone. I am for thee and not for another. My body belongs to thee. My days belong to thee. My hours belong to thee. My time, my life, everything. My youth belongs to thee. My middle years belong to thee. My old age belongs to thee. Even in my frailty and in mine infirmities, I am thine. But then, that is how it ought to be presently. But here's the great marvel. When by grace a poor sinner can say before God, I am thine. I have been created by thee. I have been redeemed by thee. I have had thy grace extended to me. I have been brought into thy service. I am thine most willingly. I am thine eternally. How blessed that is. I am thine eternally. The blessed Savior reminds us that he is the good shepherd, and that the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And when he gives his life for the sheep, it is to secure them and to give them life. And what did Jesus say about his sheep, those that he lives for and those that he died for? What does he say? No man is able to pluck them out of his hand. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then he goes on to say, neither can any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. And this is the great and glorious reality for the child of God. I am thine. Imagine, I'm utterly unworthy, utterly undeserving. At times I feel utterly unprofitable. At times I even begin to wonder, am I his at all? But I can only acknowledge he has set his love upon me. He will not let me go. Times when my poor wandering mind and soul has wandered, and yet he has never deserted me. He has reminded me I belong to him, and he will not let me go. And he has never deserted me, and he has given unto me eternal life. And he tells me that nothing can separate me from his love. I am his for eternity. And when this life is at an end, when it is over, when I pass from this scene of time, I will not go out of existence. I will be his. I will be his eternally. Child of God, if you're able to say, well, by the grace of God, I belong to Christ. Think of it, you can look into the future. And it doesn't matter what a day will bring forth. This is true. You are Christ, and you are his for all eternity. And what a marvel it will be when the whole redeemed church is together made perfect in holiness, assembled around the throne of eternal glory. And every last redeemed soul will be saying, I am thine. I am thine because he brought me here. He has kept me. He has brought me home to glory into his presence that I might see his glory and that I might join the great innumerable throng around the throne singing by grace unto him who loved us and washed us in his own blood. I am thine now, secure for all eternity. But then we could not leave these words without thinking, and it is so true, I am thine as a divine responsibility. I am thine by grace. I am thine in thy service. I am willingly thine. I offer everything I am and everything I hope to be. Everything, I offer it to thee. I am thine. Use me as it pleases thee. Do with me what honors thee, what pleases thee. Not what pleases me, but what pleases thee. Not what I would like, but what is pleasing and honorable to thee. I am thine. And as the psalmist says here, save me. Whatever predicament the psalmist found himself in, he could turn to God. And he could say, even when he could do nothing for himself, whenever the situation was such that he was having to entirely rely upon God, he could look heavenward and he could say to God, I am thine. Now save me, because I am thy responsibility. And this, we must understand, is so wonderful, so amazing, when God says to his people, I am thine. Then he says, if you have to pass through the water, I will be with thee. If you have to go through the fire, remember this, I will go with you. If you have to travel through the dark valley of the shadow of death, remember this, I am with thee. And so the child of God is able to say to God, I am thine, and I am weak. I am thine, and I am foolish. I am thine, and I am in a predicament. I am thine, and I am in danger. I am thine, but I'm being tempted. I'm being sorely tried. I'm being harassed by the enemy of my soul. The devil is continually and constantly seeking to destroy me. And even when I've the whole armor of God on, he still attacks. The battle is still fierce and it is difficult. I am thine. I am thy responsibility. Take care of me. And that's wonderful in the experience of the child of God. If I can say, if I can turn to the Lord and I can say today, I am thine, then I know it matters not what my circumstances be. It matters not what difficulties confront me. He will take care of me because I belong to him. And who is wiser, who is more knowledgeable, who is more able? The omnipotent God I am thine. The omniscient God, I am thine. The all-wise God, I am thine. And you see, because that is so, then there is peace. We can rest assured God will do all things well. And when the Apostle Paul was writing to the Romans and he was saying, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. The apostle knew it was because he belonged to God. God would work everything out perfectly. It may be mysterious to himself. He may be tempted to think this is a strange providence. These are difficult paths that I am required to tread. But he could look heavenward. I am thine. I am thine. Save thou me. Dear child of God, can you say today from the heart, I am thine? You've been made willing by divine power. Maybe you can look back and you can think, well, there was a time I wanted to be me. I was not saying to the Lord, I am thine. I was saying to someone else, I am thine. I was saying to the world, I am thine. I'm going to take my fill of pleasure. I'm going to take my fill of all that the world has to offer to me. And then the day came when grace came into the soul and the eyes of the understanding were opened and you became aware of the folly of your own thinking and you were brought to repentance and you were brought to forsake your sin and turn your back upon it. And you remember when grace so welled up in your soul and you looked heavenward and you said to Christ, I am thine. And through Christ you said to God, I am thine for time and for eternity. Dear child of God, this day, if you are his, you are his responsibility. And I can assure you, he will not fail you. He will not forsake you. He will not deny you. He will not leave you. You are his, and when you and he come together in sweet and hallowed fellowship, it is like as we have it in the Song of Solomon. This is my beloved, and my beloved is mine. How blessed. I am thine, child of God. What a marvel, because there was a time when you were dead in trespasses and in sins, and in your heart you were away somewhere else. You were seeking and pursuing other lovers and other interests and to fulfill other ambitions. But today, with a contentment in your soul, you're saying, I am thine. And you know what Christ does? He comes and he says, I am thine and thou art mine. Oh, may God bless us with that grace, young and old alike, to turn with all the heart and soul and mind and strength. Say, blessed Lord, I, this poor, wretched, unworthy, unprofitable creature, nevertheless, I am thine. May God bless his word. Let us pray. Most holy and eternal God, be pleased to bless thy truth. Oh, that it would be in each of our hearts to be coming before thee, and with all that is within our souls, we would say to thee this day, I am thine. I leave the world behind me. I forsake my sin forever. I am thine. Make me thine for time and for eternity. May God hear us and receive us for Christ's sake. Amen.